But God's Word said, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph." That means you're to do both at the same time. Clap and shout. Clap and shout. Come on, let's give Jesus. Let's give Jesus. Jesus, praise and honor and glory in this house tonight. We love you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We bless the name of Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus tonight. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. If you will turn with me in Scripture to Genesis chapter 18 and then stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Thank you for being here in the house of the Lord. Our laity, we could not live without you. You're our backbone, and we appreciate you for being in the house of the Lord. Thank you, visitors, for being here, the home church, for hosting this. I give honor to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to the pastor and shepherd over this flock, and to the First Lady here tonight. And we bless them in the name of the Lord. We bless you and ask God's richest favor to be upon you. And my armor bearer could not bring me. He drives me back and forth. He assists me and helps me. His wife, we just prayed for a moment ago, is afflicted and in need of a miracle of God in her body. She had just had surgery 2 weeks ago and needs a touch of the Lord. So my wife came with me. She said, "Do not embarrass me. Do not tell anybody I'm here. I don't want nobody, you know, making over me." So nobody look over there to the right. She's got black on. Just don't look over there. And you'll be all right. She's got short hair, but I'm not going to tell them, honey. It's you. All three cameras can go that direction. Amen. But one of the brethren just tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Do you get good gas mileage with your vehicle?" And I kind of snickered. I said, "I have no idea. This is the second day of driving it. The first day long distance, our other vehicle played out. And so we had to go yesterday and finalize and get a new vehicle." And I want to say to you that are here and by way of telecast, the internet, if you need a new vehicle or a vehicle, you go to Deacon Jones in Smithfield, North Carolina. I have never been treated any greater and had more favor with God and with man than I did yesterday. And when I walked out, I didn't walk out with the least, and I didn't walk out with something that was someone else's handicap. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That something else had doctored up. I walked out with the one that was in the showroom, and we drove out the vehicle out of the showroom, and God, it was a miracle of the Lord, gave us favor with God and with man. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. I said, the best is yet to come. Somebody here tonight, I don't know who this message is for, and if nobody shouts and nobody slaying the spirit and nobody jumps up and down and whatever's happening on the TV, it's okay, because I know I heard from the Lord, because I was going in a different direction all day long, and the Holy Spirit will not leave me alone, so I'm going to obey God. Genesis 18, verse 1. "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant.' And they said, 'So do, as thou hast said.' And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, 'Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth.' And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." I'm going to stop reading there, but the entire chapter is our reference tonight. But I'm preaching on the subject, when God speaks his secret to man. When God speaks his secret to man. God has a secret that he wants to speak to the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. I want to give that to you tonight. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. God has not forsaken you. God has not forgotten you. God will speak His secrets unto His servants tonight. Father, would you in this house tonight speak to your people by the Holy Spirit of heaven? Would you grant unto your servant tonight, and I pray that you'll allow me to preach, God, as a man from another world. Let me speak the oracles of God tonight to this congregation and to those who are watching by way, God. I pray that the Holy Ghost of heaven will come down. Someone here tonight, though we've already received a breakthrough Tuesday night, though Wednesday night more souls were added into the kingdom, someone here in this service, someone watching right now by internet, you're going to speak secrets unto. For the God that seeth in secret will reward us openly. I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, have thine own way in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Shake the hand of two or three and say, hear the secret voice of God. Abraham, whose name means father of multitude, and is near the great trees of Mamre. Mamre was a place of representation of strength at Hebron. Hebron was a friendship. That was the interpretation of it. All of a sudden, this man Abraham has a sudden appearance of three angels, or angel beings, if you please. If you are following with me, you have to understand that two of them were the angels of the Lord. They were angels that arrived with Yahweh. One of them was Jesus Christ pre-incarnate himself. He was the Lord who appeared unto Abraham. This three angels, Yahweh and the other two angels, arrived. God did not use a vision and just speak to Abraham and show him the future. If God showed you your future, you could not handle it tonight. It is a day-by-day process that you're growing in the grace of the Lord. And God has your life in His hands. The steps of righteous men and women are ordered by the Lord tonight. God did not speak to him in an audible voice from heaven like He did to Moses in the burning bush and just speak to him and say, Abraham, this is going to take place. That is going to happen in your life. Abraham could not have stood what God had to say. So while God's not speaking to him with a vision or a voice, it is evident that man needed something third of all. And that's where we're at tonight. God has spoken many times to us through visions. We have seen visions from heaven. Thank God for the visions that God gives. We have heard the voice of the Lord. So oftentimes God has spoken through tongues and interpretation, through word of knowledge and word of wisdom, through prophetic utterance. God has given the church over and over what we needed, when we needed, and how we needed it. But on this time, God says, I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to bring a visitation to man that man will never forget. I'm going to visit man so profoundly that when man sees me face to face and he comes in contact with my anointing, my anointing's not only going to break the yoke, it will destroy the yoke of bondage. God's anointing still destroys the yoke, my friend. So God's going to visit him. The Lord had come to Abraham to do one thing, to convey His covenant. Many people ask over and over, Brother Leonard, I need a word from the Lord. I need to know something from God. I just take the Bible and say, here you go, here's 66 books. Have at it. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of the Lord. If you need a word from God, get this blessed book out, wipe the dust from off its pages, and hear what the Spirit has to say to the house of the Lord. The problem is, we've got every kind of book in our house but the right book. I get in people's vehicles, and they've got Reader's Digest, and they've got Inquirers, and they've got the Globe, and they've got everything else that's publicized recognized by the world. Now I look sometimes and I'll say, do you have your Bible with me? I want to look at it just a moment and say, no. I don't know where it's at. Sad that we don't even know where the Word of God is sometimes. God help me tonight to preach. God wanted to convey His covenant to Abraham. Abraham perceived it was the Lord. The first thing I want you to understand, write it down, jot it down, memorize it, is there was a welcome. He invites the Lord into his tent. He welcomes him. Could it be tonight that God has not yet come in a manifestation of a visitation, of a demonstration of his power because man has not welcomed him? Could it be tonight that God is simply saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and will abide and sup and feast with him and he with me. I'm preaching good tonight, whether you know it or not. Them folks on the internet's getting it. Amen. I can feel them worshiping and praying for me tonight. But you'll get in about 10 or 15 minutes because we're going to sing in about 15 minutes and y'all really like singing, so you'll shout then. But I want to tell you, I shout while preaching's going on. I just love the preaching of the Word of God. He welcomed him and invited the Lord into his tent. He began to host the Lord. He began to entertain the Lord, if you please. When you have somebody come at your house and knock on your door, if you don't open the door and welcome them in, they're not coming back to your house. And if you welcome them in and you allow them to come in your house and you don't present them as a guest and you as a host and you don't entertain them, it won't be but just a few minutes and they'll feel uneasy and they're going to leave. Amen? They're not going to stay where they're not welcome. Well, do you think that God is going to stay in a place where He is not welcome? My spirit shall not always abide with man. Quench not the Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy One of Israel. My friend, I want to tell somebody here tonight, would you lift your hands to heaven and welcome the Lord and say, God, you are welcome in my life tonight. I welcome you to move in my life. I welcome you to take charge of my life. I welcome you, God, to have your way in my heart. Ephesians 3 and 17 said that Christ may dwell or live and abide in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. When you welcome the Lord, you host Him. You entertain Him. You say, hey, Lord, you come on in the Wallace Assembly of God. We've got you a front row seat. We've got you a place at the altar. We're going to invite you on the praise team. Hey, Lord, you can get in our music. You can get in our sound system. God, we want you to be welcome all in the house of the Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty in the house of God tonight. He welcomes him. The second thing he does is a very unusual event. He says, Lord, I have to wash. I instruct my servants, go and prepare water. I'm going to serve the Lord. I want to go and I want to wash your feet. You know why? Because your feet are the dirtiest part of your body. They go where man has never been before. They step in stuff and it stinks. I know y'all think your feet are smell good and all right. My feet are the only one you can eat out of my shoes tonight. I promise you. I change probably more often than I ought to. I take 2, if not 3 showers sometimes a day. My shoes are organized. I just don't like smelly feet. I like clean feet. Evidently, Jesus liked clean feet. Yahweh. Because Abraham said, go fetch me some water. I want to wash the dirt from off your feet. I don't want nothing that you have tracked in the world to come in my house. Hallelujah. See, the Lord's not going to bring anything in your house and your heart of the world. He's going to bring something that's clean and holy. That's the key word here, is when you are welcoming the Lord and hosting Him and entertaining Him, then you wash His feet, because He is a holy God. He is a pure God. Nobody can ever lay tribute to anything of accusation against Him. There was no sin in Him. There was no guile found in His mouth. No man could accuse Him. But they stood and said, we have shed innocent blood today because He's holy. Do you understand what's going on in heaven right now? This young man's mother passed away. Let me give you something, young man, so you can go home and shout about it tonight and sleep all night long. I hear people say oftentimes when somebody has died, they say, "Oh, the death angel came to my door. He took my mama, he took my grandfather, he took my daughter." No, no, no. Understand something. The death angel never comes to the house of a Christian. The Bible says the death angel come to the door where the blood had not been applied. And he killed the firstborn of every household where the blood had not been applied. Let me tell you, when a Christian or a saint of God dies, it is the angel of the Lord that comes. It is God Himself who sends His angels, and they keep charge over you. And the Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know what? He's washed us in His own blood. We're not holy in your own self. You're not righteous in your own self. But you're holy in Him tonight, because in Him you live and move and have your very being in this house. He said, "So I've welcomed Him, I've hosted Him, I've entertained." When God speaks His secrets to His servants, when God wants to speak to His servant tonight, you've got to welcome Him and host. You've got to wash. He is going to be holy. Third of all, the Word. The Word has to always be present, and you have to honor Him. The reason why the church world is in the mess that we're in is because we've turned the house of the Lord into a house of ill repute. Everything is happening in the sanctuary is not holy, pure, or godly. I might bust your bubble, but it's okay. When you come into His gates, it is to be with thanksgiving. And into His courts it is to be with praise, and you are to be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. It's not a place for you to come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival night, and eat cake and donuts and drink coffee. Amen, amen, and amen. If you want to have fellowship, we'll eat at McDonald's tonight after church. Amen. I didn't like those little things to start with. They covered them with peppers, but I went back Tuesday night, got me some chicken McNuggets. Amen, because all preachers love chicken, and they were wonderful. I'll go eat and fellowship after service is over. Go to the fellowship hall. It's okay. But when you come in this sanctuary, when you go into a sanctuary, you go into the house of the Lord to give Him honor, to give Him praise, and give Him glory. So you need to hear the Word of the Lord. You cannot hear the Word of the Lord eating a Krispy Kreme donut. All you're thinking about is eating another one. You can't hear the Word of God when you're drinking coffee. No, no, no. I beg your pardon. No, you cannot. And I know it's a New Age movement. Half of them just cut me off the internet. It's all right. I hadn't lost a thing. Amen. The problem is God has not been welcome because the churches are not hosting Him. He has not been washed because the churches don't think He's holy anymore. They have just desecrated Jesus. They still put Him on the cross. People wear these necklaces that got Jesus on the cross. I want to tell you, He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I tonight. Look what He does. He says, "Give them fresh bread and give them fresh meat." You know why? Because He says the Word has to come to the life of an individual, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when the Word comes forth, when you taste and see, Jeremiah said, "I did eat His Word. I was hungry and I ate His Word." You've got to taste the Word. You've got to partake of the Word. And then the last thing He said is, He says about worship. We've got this mentality that we ought to worship God in a specific way. That there's a secret of how to worship God. You know, we hire people to come on our stages and they teach us like cheerleaders and gymnastics. Everybody raise your hand 3 times. Everybody clap your hands 5 times. Everybody stomp your feet. Well, I've done that in children's church. Father Abraham. Y'all remember that? Had many sons, move your right hand, left hand, right foot. I I'm not in children's church anymore. I love children's church. It was wonderful and glorious. But you see, what that did was I was being occupied on Sunday morning. But on Sunday night when I came to the house of the Lord and many times laid underneath the pews and sometimes was left alone because Mom and Dad left the church and went on home and left me asleep under the pew. And I had to find the best way home I could. Oh yeah, thank God we live next door to the church. But when we went to church, we knew one thing. We were going to worship the Lord. It didn't matter anything else that happened, whether it was testimony, singing, preaching, whether it was an all-night gospel singing jubilee, made no difference. We were going to worship God. There was something about going to God's house that put a spring in your step. It put a click in your feet. It made you want to. When you went to the house of God, I got excited because I knew that the Lord was going to meet me there. You see, you will get excited about church again when you understand, when you know that God is going to meet us here. When you have welcomed Him and hosted Him and entertained. When you have washed Him because He's holy. When the Word of God's been given and you've honored Him. And when you worship Him with your heart. Let me tell you what happened. Isaac, he's the son of promise. The son of laughter. That's what he's called. Isaac's name means laughter. Abraham laughed in joyful faith. Show you scripture. See, he laughed. God didn't get angry, mad, upset. No. He knew that Abraham was kind of, he wasn't making fun of God. He was joyful. Yeah, I'm an old man. He'd already went with his handmaiden Hagar and had Ishmael. But let me say something here to you tonight, okay? Why settle for Ishmael when God's got an Isaac ready? And some of you have settled for Ishmael and you've been messing with Hagar the handmaiden and you need to get right with God and you need to go into the tent with Sarah and you need to let God have His way. Woo! Hallelujah! Boy, that really got bad right there, didn't it? See, the problem is we've got people who have rejected the Word of the Lord. And then they rebel against the work of God, and then they refuse to worship. It's not their favorite preacher preaching tonight. I talked to a gentleman, the one we just prayed with tonight, and we found out some of our history roots go hand in hand from Henderson. He stopped me the first night and talked for a few moments about it. And I just looked at him and told him, I said, I don't preach like your uncle, H.B. No disrespect, he's preached in my pulpit. I don't preach like Brother Brackett. He doesn't preach like, we're not in competition, folk. It's not about who can preach or sing or shout the loudest or who's got this talent or that ability. No. It's about whether or not a man has been with God and heard from heaven. And I heard from heaven today, and the Lord said, when God speaks His secrets to man, what happened was God began to whisper unto Abraham's ear. He began to talk to him, and his human response was, I don't know. I don't understand. Sarah's response was, ha, 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 ha. She laughed at God. And when she did, it was so negative because she was untrusting to the Lord. And God said, I'll tell you what will happen. I'll put a curse on you. You don't laugh at God. You don't make fun of God because He is a holy God. In James 2 and 23, and the Scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness because he was called the friend of God. Abraham just simply believed God. I wish someone here in this church tonight would believe God. Can I have two people that have believed God with me that God has sent this move of the Holy Ghost to this church and this community? Can I have three people that will agree with me? Because He said if two or three agree with any one thing with faith, believe it shall be done. Is there three of y'all that agree? How about all of us agreeing tonight that we are a friend of God? He's our friend and we're His friend and we're walking hand in hand with Him tonight. Let me tell you when through. This is the first thing that's going to happen. When you have done these things, when you have welcomed God, you have hosted Him, when you have washed and you've become holy, when the Word of God's come forth and you've honored Him, when you've worshiped the Lord with your heart, all these things, God's whispering the entire time to your life His secrets. When God speaks His secrets unto His servant, the first thing that's going to happen to you is barrenness is going to be broken. Our altars have become barren in the last 10 to 15 years in Pentecostal ranks. It is because whatever has happened has taken place. I won't place it on anything. It's too numerous to talk about tonight. But let me say this to you. If we will get in the right place, in the right time, when God makes His next move, the barrenness of our churches will be broken. Our altars again will become full of people who will prostrate themselves before God and they will lay before Him and say, "Oh God, I want You to do a work in my life like never before. I'm not leaving here until God touches me and I touch God, until the Lord comes in my life and whispers unto me." The second thing will happen, not only will barrenness be broken, but fruit will come forth. Jesus walking, He looked at the tree, and it only produced leaves. He cursed that fig tree and said, "Because you've not bore any fruit." He walked away and came back, and on His journey back He looked, and the disciples in amazement said, "Oh my Lord, the fig tree is withered away." I see churches withering away. I see people withering away. I see Christians that say they're withering and there's no fruit coming forth. Where is the fruit in the house of the Lord again? You know, we used to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the love, and there's not really any love going on in church. There's a lot of lust going on, but not love. Help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. Everybody's lusting about what they can get out or get away from the church. Sometimes it behooves me, and I wish my phone number was unlisted. Because every week, sometimes day by day by day, we get phone calls from nuts, idiots, crazies. "We want you to pay our light bill. We want you to pay our..." Wait a minute, let me get a cigarette out of my mouth. "We want you to pay our oil bill." They talk about all these bills, and I say, "Hey, wait a minute. If you can afford a $5 pack of cigarettes a day, you can afford to pay your light bill. You can pay your gas bill. If you can afford to buy alcohol, you can pay your bills." Amen, amen. I know y'all quiet, but it's all right. It's good preaching anyway. And first thing I tell me is, "I need your name and your social security number, a copy of your driver's license." I start going in, and they say, wait a minute. "All we want is money." I said, "And all I want to know is who you are, because I'm calling the sheriff's department and I'm calling the social services. And if I find out you're drawing food stamps and you're getting SSI and all these things, I'm going to report you. And I pray unto God that you don't get no more help." And when I do, they say, "Oh, we'll talk to you later, click." And that's the way it is in the house of God. People come long enough so they can get some. Had some a few weeks ago, a man come in, and he came to one of my brethren. He came to me, and he played everybody. And these are the words he kept telling everybody: "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." But see, I've trained my people, especially my deacons, and I said, "You come talk to your pastor. You trust your shepherd." And they started coming, and one of them said, "Well, I gave him $100. And others said, "Well, I gave him $40. And others said, "I gave him..." And then he's going out the door, and there was a poor little lady, and she didn't have anything except $20 bills to her name. A $20 bill, that's all she had to last her the rest of the month. And he got her so out of whack that she started getting upset, and she reached in there, grabbed it, and handed her $20. I said, "My God, don't y'all understand? The devil comes to our churches, and he tries to rob our churches. He tries to steal from our churches because he don't want the fruit to be in the church. The reason why we can't have the move of God like we ought to is because there's no fruit being produced, because no seed is being sown." Oh, you're going to get quiet now on this. I want you to really shout with me tonight. Because, see, you will be the 10th revival I've preached at in 21 months since I've been at Roanoke Rapids. And I shared with my church last night and told them, I have an armor bearer who's driving me back and forth. He buys my meals, or else someone else does at McDonald's each night. They're blessing me. The only thing I'm paying for is my two-piece suit, my shirt and tie. It costs me $18 a night. You see $18 a night when you see me, because it's going to be clean. I don't hang it up and dry it out and air dry it and put it outside. I don't want no bird stuff on my clothes. I don't want no hog smell on my clothes. I'm not putting it outside. I take it to the cleaners, let them get all that sweat and all out, and I'm ready for the next service. It's all you see. That's all it's cost me, $18 a night. And I told my church last night, I said, Pastor doesn't even know. I've not even talked to him. I said, but again, I've done over and over and over to churches. I said, I tell the people, I bless you in the name of the Lord. You're looking at a preacher that's not preaching for worldly gain. I have nothing down here. Everything I have belongs to God. When you understand that, God will favor you. But I said, I'm giving the offering back to the church, because I want to bless your church. I want you to understand that God breaks curses. I want you to understand that there are preachers that do preach and not for money. I want you to understand there are people that do hear the voice of the Lord. There are people that will sacrifice. Somebody said, oh, preacher, what if I put $1,000 in the offering tonight and I come tell you, so what? I've just blessed this church with it, so what you just did is bless this church with $1,000. I'm telling you, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I just preached revival a while back and went in the house, and my wife said, oh, praise God, we need this and we need that, and I need gas in the car, I need this, and we were talking, and she said, what did you get? I said, $500. She said, oh, hallelujah. Where's it at? I said, I gave it back to the church. Go sleep on the couch. Go to my pulpit. There's a card laying up there addressed to Pastor Leonard. I open it up. There are five $100 bills laying there. It said, for your labor of love wherein you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And there was no signature. And it was from the Saturday I gave it until Sunday morning. Never told nobody. I didn't tell the church. Nobody knew it but my wife. But between Saturday night and Sunday morning on my pulpit was a card with $500. You come too late to tell me. God takes care of His children. God makes a way where there is no way. I had an evangelist preach over me many years ago. He was preaching in revival, and after the second night, he said, no more. He said, no more offerings. You give me what come in Monday and Tuesday night and keep the rest from the church. He had no idea what had come in. Over $3,000 had come in two night service. That was it. That's what he received. Thousands of dollars came in the next three nights. He gave it to the church. See, I've had examples to share with me and show me men and women of God who have labored this love. They have fruit, and fruit is coming forth. I wish somebody here tonight would say, you know what? I've sown seed into the kingdom. I'm ready for God to fertilize that seed. Some have planted and some have watered, but God, would you give me the increase? Let my fruit come forth. Will you pray that with me? Lord, let my fruit come forth tonight. Barrenness will be broken. Fruit will come forth. Last of all, generational blessings will be bestowed upon your life. Generational blessings will be bestowed upon your life. You have a child? Anybody have a child here tonight? You are either passing down one of two things to them. I don't care about how much money you have. I don't care about your heritage. It matters not about your name, anything. You're passing one of two things in that you're imputing in their life. You're either imputing a generational blessing or a generational curse. I have a half-brother that his father committed suicide, my stepdad. His grandfather committed suicide. His great-grandfather committed suicide. It came down three generations. My half-brother has had suicidal spirits. He's had to deal with them. We've had to pray with him in the altar many times. I've got calls in the midnight hour to get a hold of the throne of God for him, because we knew that it was detrimental. It is a generational curse. And if the church has ever needed to stand with power and authority and anointing, we need to break the curses that are upon our children. You hear me? I'm talking to somebody here tonight. You need to lay hands upon your child and say, Lord, it matters not what I did in my past, my companion did in their past. It matters not about our heritage. It don't matter about anything. I bless my child in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe, God, that you're going to put something in the life of my child, that you're going to ordain their life, and you're going to bless them so abundantly that when men look at my child, they're going to say, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl was dedicated unto the Lord. Hannah said, I'm barren. I can't have a child. But oh, God visited Hannah. When she did, she had a child by the name of Samuel. She dedicated Samuel to the Lord all the days of his life. She led him to the Lord. Samuel was just a child growing up underneath the priest. But the Bible said one time a year, his mother would visit him in the house of God, and she'd bring him a coat, and she'd say, here you go, son. I made this all year long. I want it to fit you. I want to bless you. You're under a generational blessing. God broke the curse off of my life. I'm no more barren. Fruit's coming forth. Blessing's coming forth. And she made him a coat. And the Holy Ghost said to me one day, what'd she put in the pockets? Woo! Wonder what that mama put in them pockets of that coat every year. Maybe it was a letter that said, Samuel, I love you. Samuel, you're the best thing that happened to me besides the Lord. Samuel, I am so proud of you. It's in our tongue. Power of life and death is in our tongue. You either bless or you curse with your tongue. And I bless you tonight in the name of the Lord God of heaven. Pastor, God is breaking loose. There is breakthrough, but there's also opposition. There's also demoniac warfare that the enemy does not want this meeting to go for. We are bombarding hell tonight. We are taking and going to the enemy's camp and taking back what he stole from us. We are going into the kingdom and going forward with God, and generational blessings will be bestowed. Two angels depart. They go to Sodom. And Abraham said, wait a minute, God. Ho, just a moment. My nephew went that direction. My family is over yonder in Sodom. Would you spare Sodom if you found 50? God said, yes. 45, 40, 30, 20. God, I can't find 10. God said, if you find 10, I'll spare the city. There was not even 10 righteous. There were only 8. There was Lot, his wife, his 4 daughters, and 2 son-in-laws. That was it. Only 8 righteous people. And Abraham said, wait a minute, God. Before you visit with judgment, will you visit that city and bring my family out? 8 is the number of new beginning. And God told Lot and him, said, take that family of 8 and you march out of there. When you do, don't you look back. Because when you look back, that's when the judgment's going to fall upon you. 8 walked out. New beginning came into their life. But Lot's wife looked back. The second shortest scripture in the Bible, remember Lot's wife. The warning came because God was speaking and saying, Abraham 75, Sarah 64, when God promised them the seed of a Savior. Abraham's now 99 and Sarah's 90 when they conceive. There's still hope for some of y'all. I thought I'd wake y'all up that were sleeping. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 91. Isaac's born. With men, there are things that are impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. If you just have faith as of a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain, be thou removed, cast in the sea, and God will do it. Now I know y'all's God's not that big. Some of y'all don't believe in it. Some of y'all just, you have death faith. You don't believe in God. But I believe tonight. I believe my God can still move mountains. He can still open up a way in the desert. He can still give a stream of water in a dry and thirsty land. I've closed Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she got past age, because she judged God faithful who had promised. See, something within Sarah began to turn over. And when she had laughed at God, God said, "Oh, no, 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 no. God speaks His secret things to His servants." Here she is walking out, 90 years old and pregnant. Is that a tumor? Did you swallow a bowling ball? Did a Martian come down from outer space and possess your body? Because see, it wasn't all over her body. It was all right here. Sarah's walking around that pregnancy dress, saying, "The Lord hath visited me. My barrenness is broken. My fruit's coming forth. I've got within me that holy child, Isaac. He's going to be the son of promise. Oh, Ishmael, yeah, that's Abraham, but that's by his Hagar, the handmaiden. I'm his true wife." You see, that's a representation I don't have time to go into, but that's a representation of Jesus Christ and the church. Oh, yes. But she's walking around and she says, "When this child is born, he's going to be the promise of the seed of the Savior, and through his lineage, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to be born." And she's standing on the promises of God. And I would to God that you would stand on the promises of God. I know it looks dim. I know it looks bad. I understand what you're going through. You say nobody else has ever been through. But Jesus Christ said he was at all points tempted as we, yet without sin. And there is nothing that God cannot do. He said, "I'm touched by the feeling of your infirmities." He said, "He'll put no more upon you than what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape." God will grant it unto you tonight. How big is your God? Will you let the Spirit speak to the servant secret things? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us tonight? I sense the Holy Ghost right now is arresting our hearts. You want to speak, God, prophetically. And I want to be obedient, submissive unto you, Lord. Would you stand all over this house and reverence the Lord a moment? I feel a holy, holy presence of the Lord right now. Just wait just a moment on Him. Just stand. And just wait a moment on the Holy Spirit. God is talking to some hearts in this house. He's talking to some people watching by the way of television, internet, computer. And He is speaking and saying to you, He's talking to you secret things. He's telling you things that's going to take place in your life. He said in the word of the Lord in Jeremiah, "He knows the thought that He thinks towards you, saith God. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give unto you an expected end." Some of you say, "But Brother Leonard, you don't know where I'm at, what I'm going through. You don't know the condition I'm in. You don't understand." I promise you, I probably don't. But God does. And His Holy Spirit will give you guidance and direction for your life. And He will move on your behalf. Who are you here tonight? And you'll step out and come to this altar and say, "Brother Leonard, I want the Spirit to speak the secret things of God to me. And I want to hear from heaven. I want God to tell me and talk to me. I want to have that relationship, that fellowship, that communion with God, one like I've never had in my lifetime. I want the Lord to smile upon me." Everyone always waits on the first person, but you might be the key to moving that God uses to break this revival continually loose in what He's wanting to do. Who are you here tonight? "Brother Leonard, I want the Spirit to speak to me His secret things." You'll come and pastor.